Good evening to everyone. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Africa is filled with so many challenges. There are so many things that, as the church in Africa, is facing with. And one of the times, in most of the situation, we often have to ask ourselves, how should we do church in Africa? How can we do church, a continent that is facing so many challenges? For example, poverty is something that is defined with the identity of Africa. Racism, particularly to where we're from in South Africa, it's a major challenge. And thirdly, the doctrine that we find ourselves as the church with in Africa. And so in many occasions, we have to ask ourselves, how should we do church when we are facing so many challenges? How can we do church in a way that is honoring God and faithful? The text that we open in the book of Ephesians, when we look at the book of Ephesians, we can half it in two, chapter 1 to chapter 3. It looks at the benefit of being a believer. And from chapter 4 to chapter 6, it looks at the benefits, what we then should do to live as Christian. And so what we want to focus on today from chapter 3 to 14 is basically to understand how can we do church in all this difficult. And what Paul talks about in chapter 3 and 14 is looking at the blessings, the spiritual blessing of the church. In most of occasions in Africa, when you think of the very word of blessing, we think of the material things. What we've seen the church in Africa is that the church has been identified with the material blessings or the material things. We only understand in Africa as someone who's blessed by looking at what this world can give you. We see in most churches that even the gospel has been sold in order that people can get the material things. I mean, in one sense, you can understand somehow that the challenges of Africa, the poverty that is there, pushes people to look at the ways of gaining material things. The gospel has been sold in Africa. We see the church, it grows, but what kind of a church it is the problem. And so, as we consider this idea, how should we do church, as planting churches in Africa is difficult, particularly to want to plant churches that are faithful in the gospel, it is difficult. People don't want to hear the word of God. They want to hear things that you can and speak to them that they will get when they believe in Christ, the material things. To come and talk about the gospel, it's something that people do not respect, they do not get. And so as I consider when we're planting this church and thinking what kind of a church would be, the book of Ephesians to me has come up and has encouraged us. Because as we look at the social issues and the problems of Africa, and I look at that in terms of the gospel, And the first thing that we see in chapter 1 is that there is a spiritual blessing. The greatest thing that the church could embrace and understand is that we as the church have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. There is nothing that is missing for the church. It might sound as if that doesn't make sense, but according to the gospel, there is nothing as the church that we need in terms of the spiritual blessing. In terms of the pain and everything that we find in as the church, but when we look at the gospel, Paul says here, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The church needs nothing. We are blessed with everything. The first thing in terms of this spiritual blessing in chapter 4, we find that we have been chosen in Him. We have been chosen in Him. So as we're thinking about the church in a difficult situation, in difficult places, Paul says to us, to the church in Africa, you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. That defines our identity. It is not by what this world says to us. It doesn't say you are a third world country. It doesn't say you are a poverty-stricken country. It says you are a chosen people. You are loved before the creation of the world. You are loved before the world was created. God looks at the church and says, you have been chosen in Him. So the most important for us is that even though we find ourselves in this difficult situation, the most important for us is that God has loved the church in Africa. God loves the church in Africa. Now, to be chosen is that it is nothing, it's not because maybe you are chosen because you are living in this part of the world, or you are chosen, you are in a certain situation. We are chosen in Christ Jesus. We were created as the church in Africa, the whole world, including in Africa, as the church, we are created by God. So when we think of the whole idea of poverty, when we think of the whole idea of racism, we know that we are loved before time. And the idea to be loved before time is that even though we are in a country where all these things are a problem, when people, for example, they might be born in a country where it is difficult, when giving birth to children sometimes without their parents, God loved them before the foundation of the world. The society, this world, put ourselves in, we know that we have been chosen in Him, created in the world to be holy. We are blessed in Africa. We are blessed as the church. Not only that, Paul says to us in verse 5, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as the sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. So we are loved, we are chosen to be holy. Even though the situation in the world is difficult, but God loved us. Number two is that we have been predestined to be adopted as sons of God. So the idea of children or people being adopted is that these people were not the children before. In order to be adopted, you cannot adopt your own children. So here we have an understanding that God says he predestined us in order to be adopted, to be made the children of God. And, you know, in Africa, South Africa, one time I was taking my kids to school and my car broke down. And I called a friend of mine to come help me. He came and to look and to assist me. While we were waiting and having a chat, a security guard came and parked his car in front of us. He said nothing to us. Now, where we were in a predominantly a white area in South Africa. Both of us were pastors. And this man stood there and looked at us and spoken on the radio, and then he drove the car. And we understood what was happening. You have two black people standing outside a house of a white community. My son was picked in, he was sitting inside his car. And a few minutes later, another car drive in, he stand next to us. This time, this security person decided that he's going to speak to us. He said, you know, I'm sorry to ask you, but one of the person in this street has called the police or has called the security. And there's nothing we actually did. The only thing that we did is that we are black people in his church, I mean, in his area. So racism is something that is a real thing in South Africa. And I was thinking, I'm a pastor, I've never gone to a prison, but here I'm suspect purely because I'm an African. And going through those things, it makes it difficult to do church because racism doesn't only affect us outside of the church, but inside the church. And therefore, what do we have to do? How can we do church? And these words really encourage us because Paul says here we have been predestined to be adopted as sons. Irrespective of what the world say or what the world thinks of us, God thinks of us differently. And we say to the church, irrespective of our experiences on the daily basis, we have been predestined, we have been adopted, we are the children of God. No matter the situation is, we are God's people. We have been adopted to be children of God. And Paul continues to say that we have been predestined to be adoption as sons of the true Jesus Christ in accordance with his great pleasure and will. That the idea that he created these people, this people of God that informs or that includes Africans in it, is that he did it for his great pleasure. That it pleased God to include us as his people. That he called us, irrespective of how the world think of them in Africa, but God loved them for his great pleasure. He loved them. He loved them to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us, one he loves. He gave us for free. He loved us for free. Therefore, the question as Africans, as we're planting churches in Africa, how can we do church? We should remain faithful in God. We are called to remain faithful in him, to love him irrespective of the situation. We cannot change everything in the world. We might not be able to get poverty off in Africa. We might never be able to take racism out in the world. But here is the reality, is that we, irrespective of the situation, we are a chosen people We are adopted people. We are children of God. Therefore, we are called to remain faithful in loving Jesus Christ. Another thing we see in Paul in talking to us as the church in Africa and the challenges that we face in Africa, verse 11 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace." The redemption that is through the blood of Jesus. So the chosen people who have been predestined have gone through that, through the redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So for us to be chosen, for us to be predestined, it is nothing that we have done, it is nothing that we are, or it's not that we are coming from a plain or a bigger families. It's because through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ that died on the cross so that we have a way to be called his people. You must understand that with the time, the first time I thought of this idea of election, be chosen, to be profound thing is that it does not matter the social issues that we face. It is normal in Africa for people to grow up in one family situation, to have a father that does not do his responsibility of caring his children, or even rejecting the idea that he's the father. I remember when God was calling me to be a pastor, the first thing I thought about was, how can I even be called to be a pastor when I feel I was born in sin? That was before I understood these verses in Ephesians. That my life, we think, begins when we were born, but God began before the foundation of the world. Because the idea is that whatever this world tells you you are or how you should live, God says, I have chosen how you will live your life. I have chosen who you are. You are my people. I chose you before the foundation of the world, before your father failed in his ability to raise you, but I have chosen you to be mine. Even though people might look at you differently because of how you look like, God says, I have loved you before the foundation of the world. The death of Christ was also for me. God loves Africa. God loves the African church. Christ died for it. He gave his grace for it, that we might have life in him. It is in Christ. Everything we can be and everything we are, it is only in Christ. Therefore, what encourages us, it is who we are in Christ. Not what the world tells us we are, but who we are in Christ that we are encouraged. Therefore, the forgiveness of sin, the riches of his grace is lavished upon us as God's people, loved by Christ. These words, these are not just a doctrine of the Bible. These are lives, situation that we hold on to. We hold on to because you need to understand, to stand for truth in areas like this, it is difficult. To stand for the gospel in these places, it is difficult. So irrespective of what the world does or what it says, we are chosen for holiness. We are predestined for adoption, and we receive redemption through the blood of Christ. In verse 9, Paul says, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his great pleasure, which he purposed in Christ." He made known to us the mystery of his will. You know, when someone shares something that has been revealed to us, that God revealed his mystery to us as people who are not part of his, who are outside of his grace, but because of his love, he has revealed to us, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. God's will has been revealed to us as the church in Africa. We must not make a mistake. We are loved. We cannot nick or look at the church in Africa and feel ashamed or feel bad or feel sell or feel accomplished back about ourselves. We cannot look at ourselves and feel less as the church. We've been loved as the church. So many what is coming out of Africa is different. People tell us a lot of things, but we need to know as well that the church in Africa is loved. He makes known to us the mystery of his purpose to us, to put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even in Christ. We have Jesus Christ, irrespective of any situation. In verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to his plan, of him who works out anything, everything, in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. What everything that God has done, the choosing and the predestination, he has done everything for himself, for his purpose, for his ideas, for his hope. It is only for himself he did this. There is nothing that we can be boast on. Everything he has done it for his purpose and for his will. And you also were included in Christ. We come in South Africa to a place where everything in our idea, as people, we've been secluded, separated, not included to anything. And what we found in Jesus Christ, he says that we have been included in Christ. When we heard the word of Christ, the gospel of salvation, we were included in Christ. People have even created theology that told us that we were separated, that told us we are not part of God's kingdom. But the truth of the gospel says we have been separate, we have been included in Christ. In the salvation and the word of truth, we have been included. So as the responsibility of a believing community, how should we live our lives? As people who have been chosen for holiness, as people who have been predestined for adoption, as people who have been who have received redemption through the blood of Christ, how should we live our life as church. I think what Paul says in chapter 2 is that we should remember. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who are circumcised. Remember where you come from. Remember how you came here. Remember how you became children of God. You were at one point separated from Christ, but now you have been included. But now you have been called in. But now you share in God's blessing. Remember who you are. Paul encourages us as the church. So whatever we might face in a daily basis, whatever challenges, whether it's poverty, whether it's racism, whether it's other difficulties, crime or anything, remember that we are a children of God. The second thing is that because we've been called, because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, therefore we should live lives that are worthy of the gospel. We cannot live in any way we want to. We have lived lives that are worthy of the gospel. Chapter 4 says, as prisoners for the Lord, then I urge you to live life of worthy of the calling you have received. As a prisoner of the Lord, live lives worthy of the gospel. You can't be a people that have experienced the blessings of God but lives lives that do not respond to the gospel. We cannot have a country or places that the gospel have been in Africa for over 200 years, but where we see people, countries in Africa, corruption is still very much powerful. We must live lives that are worthy of the gospel that we've been called into. We have been called to live lives of holiness. Therefore, we cannot live any way we want to live. Thirdly, Paul reminds us in chapter 5, verse 1, to be imitators of God. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to look at our God, to look at Jesus Christ, to look at how he lived. So our lives must be a life of love. We must love Christ, live lives, and imitate him. We can't call ourselves to be a Christian, to be a church that believes in Christ, but the way we live is contrary to that. We can't be leaders in the church that says they are the leaders of the church, but their lives does not say anything compared to who the way Christ lived his life. We are to be imitators of God. And Paul says to us in chapter 6, we should put on the armor of God. Remember, as people who have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, who are in this world that is dying because of sin, you should be ready to engage in the war in this world. Not with the physical war, the spiritual war. Let us put on the full armor of God. Paul says in chapter 10, finally be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and him and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can Take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, Paul says to us, as the church in Africa, we must be ready to stand and put the full armor of God. We are not fighting blood and men, flesh and blood. Ours is a spiritual one. And in Africa, we see that. I was saying to someone, in Africa, the church is growing. But we also see in the church, there's a sense of a spiritual warfare that is happening within the church, where people claim in the name of Christ things that we cannot even mention here, where people do things in the name of Christ where we cannot even discuss here. Therefore, as the church, we are called not to feel ashamed of ourselves, but to stand with the truth of God, to stand in prayer, to stand in the Word of God, to remember and know that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have been called to be ready to stand for truth, even when it's this difficult. I love the words of a Presbyterian, the first Xhosa speaking pastors in South Africa who was ordained. He was trained in Scotland, and when he returned from Scotland back to South Africa, that was around the 1800s. It was a difficult time in South Africa because Xhosa people believed someone who taught them that they should slaughter all their sheep, so that will drive the white people back into the sea. So when he came, he saw people falling in sin, believing things that are not true. And he wrote this hymn, and it is so true today, it is true today. It was true then, it is true today, when we think about Africa or South Africa. And he says, Tiosoka, Liza Lisi Tingalako Chikongo Sienyaniso. Fulfill your promise, faithful God. He says, Zongin Tlanga. Zongin Tlanga, Zongi Zizwe. Mazizuse usindiso. All races, all nations must be saved. And that includes us in Africa. He continues to say, Amadolo kweli lizwe makagobe phambi kwakho. All knees in this world must bow before you. Zite ziti zonke ilwimi ziluqele udumo lwakho, so that all tongues proclaim your glory. And we pray that in Africa, all tongues will proclaim your glory. He says, Laula laula Nkosi Yesu koza ngawe ukonwaba.
govern, pray our God. Happiness can only come through you. Joy can only come through you. Ngeziphithiphithi zethu yonakele imihlaba. Because of our struggles and challenges, the world is damaged. Bona izwe lakowethu, xolele izono zalo. Look at our world. Forgive our sins. Ungayithobi ingqubo yakho, luze lufuke usapho lwakho. Do not send your wrath to kill the children. Yala Nkosi singadeli imfundiso zezwi lakho. Prohibit us, God, from destroying the teaching of your word. 1800s ago, Tiyosoka already see in his prayer, in singing in his hymn, that God prohibit from destroying the teaching of your truth. And then he closes it and say, Uze usifuselele, sive inyaniso yakho. Revive us. Revive us. We can hear your truth. So, what do we, or how can we be a church in Africa? We are a church that has been called, elected by God. We are a church that has been predestined by God. A church that has been redeemed by his blood. And because of that, this church in Africa, it will rise for the glory of God.